We continue our Sammy's Tracker series, speaking to finalists in this year's Service to America medals from the Partnership for Public Service. Ron Sanders is credited with driving big transformations all over government in the area of HR. His nearly four-decade career spans human capital work at the IRS, the Defense Department, and Homeland Security. His most recent federal job was Chief of Human Capital for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Among his accomplishments, a civilian joint duty program for the intelligence community. That program requires senior career leaders to work at other agencies to rack up experience from other parts of government. Sanders retired from government earlier this year. He's a finalist in the Career Achievement Sammies category, and he joins us now to discuss his long stint with the federal government. Good morning. Great to talk with you once again.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Okay. Good to hear your voice. So after 37 years, now you have a Sammies nomination. Are you optimistic about human capital development in the federal government?
Oh, I always am. I'm an eternal optimist in that regard. And I do think that that the human capital community across government is comprised of some of the most gated civil servants I've come across who want to do the right thing, who want to work with all the stakeholders and ensure that the federal government is serving the public's interest. So I remain confident that incrementally, at least, we'll continue to make progress. And I'm optimistic about the work that John Berry is doing in that regard.
Now, at the Office of Director of National Intelligence, that was an office that was one of these bringing together of various components, and sometimes the lines of authority still aren't super clear. So what were some of the HR challenges that you had in that particular office?
I always thought that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and more generally our efforts to integrate the intelligence community, were sort of a microcosm of the federal government. To try to develop human capital policies that serve the interest of the entire community, 16 or 17 agencies, depending on how you count them, in six different cabinet departments, but without driving towards one size fits all. So how could we strike a balance between those things that needed to be common to ensure a level playing field, to ensure an integrated community, one team, one fight, but still allow the agencies to be able to move forward with a great deal of independence and flexibility, because frankly, that's when they're the strongest operationally. And frankly, I thought the debate that we had, not just at the intelligence community, because we had similar discussions when I was at OPM in the stand-up of Homeland Security and some of the efforts that we undertook with the Defense Department to try to strike that balance between commonality and flexibility.
So it sounds like a big challenge for you in your career, and especially there, was kind of the people-to-people piece, at least as much as individuals looking to advance their own careers, how they could do that best. Would that be a good way to characterize it?
I think so. So much of it depended on relationships, and not just in trying to affect some of the changes that that we saw it again. I think this has been a consistent theme across the almost four decades of my career, that that it does depend a lot on relationships. And in fact, I'll sort of up the ante here. I think it depends on the collaborative networks that you've built over the years and your ability to leverage those to get things done, to be able to lead without necessarily having formal authority over people. I think that's been the secret of a lot of successes. It's certainly been one of the most important lessons I've learned over the years.
We're speaking with Ron Sanders, the recently retired Associate Director of National Intelligence for Human Capital at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And so if you were talking to – now, that's great advice for people that are coming in as young people into government, is to develop that network and those informal relationships. But what about people that are coming in at a fairly senior level that might be switching from industry or government? What are the big differences in the HR end of things are they likely to encounter, and what advice would you have to them for dealing with them?
Well, I think one of the most important attributes of leaders at all levels, whether they be young folks coming up who are asked to lead, even though they may not be in a formal leadership position, or more senior people, is the ability to come into a new organizational environment, assess and learn the terrain, and then be able to affect change, to be able to influence things pretty rapidly. That was one of the qualities that Charles Rosati, when he was commissioner at IRS, used to talk about a lot, sort of this organizational agility. I think the military learns it through their joint duty efforts, and of course those have been going on since the mid-80s. That's something we tried to do in the intelligence community with our civilian joint duty program. And frankly, whether there's a formal mechanism or not, that's something I'd encourage new professionals at any level to do, to not consider themselves bound by any particular agency or even functional discipline. But in order to build a network, seek out new experiences, particularly at the leadership level, because I do think there'll come a time when those experiences will pay off and you'll be able to leverage those networks and relationships you've built up over the years.
And do you think that leaders can sometimes err if they try to do too much in such an overly compressed time frame, such that they might lose the attention or lose the ability of the people that they're trying to lead because they're overwhelmed with so many initiatives?
Well, I think that's always a danger. Unfortunately, it's also a fact of life. There's a sense of urgency in almost everything government does these days. And I do think that we've all had to learn to adapt to that pace and that sense of urgency. So while it sometimes gets in the way of the change itself, the fact of the matter is I think people have come to accept that as just sort of the way life is, and we're learning how to deal with it.
And are you happy with the changes you see coming in the federal hiring process?
I think they're downright historic. I know that some out there had an initial reaction of sort of been there, done that, because it's not the first time that someone's tried to reform the federal hiring process. But I think Director Berry has pulled all the right levers this time. I mean, my goodness, he's gotten the president to sign a memorandum on the subject. That's historic. The fact that agency hiring reform initiatives are now built into their budget submissions, and you have bodies like the President's Management Council tracking, that's a whole different level of emphasis. And frankly, I think that's right on target. Chief and capital officers have a great deal of responsibility, but I think to a person they'll tell you that their jobs are a heck of a lot easier when they partner with their senior leadership, and their senior leadership is the one that's driving change in HR. If it's seen as coming from the HR office, frankly, it has less impetus than if it comes from the agency head or cabinet secretary. And I think what John has done here is elevate it so that it does have their attention. And frankly, I think that dramatically increases the odds of success here.
Ron Sanders is recently retired as Associate Director of National Intelligence for Human Capital, and he's a finalist in the Career Achievement Sammy's category. And we wish you luck, and we'll see you at the award ceremony.
Thanks very much, Tom. I'm humbled and honored, and whatever the outcome, it's been a wonderful career.